Just to relate briefly to something that was raised yesterday, somebody asked a question. Somebody asked a question yesterday with regard to cheeses, the hashkacha, need for hashkacha with regard to cheeses, and specifically soft cheeses, which don't even use rennet. Okay, I'm not an expert on this topic. However, you definitely very much need a hashkacha, both for hard cheeses and for soft cheeses. For hard cheeses, you have the issue of rennet. There are cheeses which are still made with rennet, but besides, even for soft cheeses which don't even use rennet, there are other things involved in the process. They add various enzymes to build up the fat content, to lower the fat content, to break down the fat faster or slower, to add all kinds of flavorings and whatever, whatnot. The enzymes need to be certified. The kalim, of course, need to be kosher. There is, of course, there is a din d'rabbanan requiring gvinas Yisrael. Is that exactly like chol of Yisrael or not? Okay, it's a very similar type of gzeira. In any event, there are several conscious issues. A person cannot assume that cheese is kosher necessarily without hashgacha. Definitely, a person needs a hashgacha. According to one article I read on the OU website, they claim that giving hashgacha to cheese is actually more complicated than giving hashgacha to many other products. So, in any event, that should be clear.
Yes. Is there also something called Pas Yisrael? Yeah.
There is. We'll get to it. We're not talking about it yet. Okay.
Well,
yes, sir.
Going back to what Josh said yesterday about fish gelatin and ice cream and all that, what is Fardin posting that hold that you can mix fish
in? I really am not ready to talk about this yet. Okay, this is gun jumping, but I see that people are very distracted by this. Okay, we know that you're not allowed to mix meat and milk. Sorry. There is one line in the Beis Yosef where he says you're not allowed to mix fish and milk. So the Rama on the spot points out that this seems to be a scribal error because there's absolutely no source for this before the Beis Yosef. If the Beis Yosef doesn't quote any source for this, it's completely out of left field. So he points out it must have been a mistake that it shouldn't say, the Rama actually has a cute phraseology, he says, Nischalev lo basar b'chalev. And we know that the Gemara says you're not supposed to have fish and meat together. So that's a separate issue. But so maybe that's probably the source of where he wrote fish and milk. It's an accident. It says mistake. It should say fish and meat. So la halacha, Ashkenazim are totally not makbid on this at all. Many Sephardim are also not makbid, but some Sephardim are makbid, not to mix based on this apparent. It does seem like it is a scribal error. But based on this line, basically, there are Sephardim who are makbid not to have fish and milk together. Remember when I was in Gross? So we used to get food from the kitchen there of Machon Lev, which is staffed by these like old-time Sephardi ladies. So they would have, one night a week, they'd have bagels with tuna. So one time someone suggested maybe they could also have, cheese. So the lady was like, looked at him like, maybe, as though he said, maybe one of these days you could also serve pork. You know, to serve on the same meal, tuna and cheese, makes it tasty. So apparently the Sephardim, they don't hold from bagels with cream cheese and lox. They're missing out.
So bad.
The bigger issue, it's not so big in Israel, obviously, but in America, because Ashkenazim hold that can have a very small part in Bishul, for Bishul Akum to not be Bishul Akum, you have to do something small.
No, we're not ready to talk about Bishul Akum yet. What does that have to do with our discussion right now?
Everything.
Okay.
So the restaurants in America, it's not Pashut.
Okay. Fine. It's a fair ha'ara. The more knowledgeable a person becomes, so he's able to make informed decisions and understand what the standards are that a particular mashgiach or a particular agency are enforcing. Right? There are two issues involved. One issue is what are the standards that they're trying to enforce? One issue is what are the standards that they're trying to enforce? You're going to need to find a way for it not to do that.
Okay.
One option might be to crush it.
Can't crush it.
Another option might be to put it on silent. Okay, good. So there's always going to be two issues. What are the standards and how good a job are they doing at enforcing the standards? Okay. Let's introduce some of the key concepts here in Hilchos Kashrus. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Some
yeah,
key concepts. Okay. We know that there's something called bittul. Right? That if you have a what's known as a ta'arovis. A ta'arovis is a mixture. So under many circumstances, we might be able to apply the rules of bittul, and that can save the day in terms of the kashrus issues involved. So for example, now in order to talk about bittul, we have to subdivide. Okay, subdivide. There's one set of rules that applies when we're dealing with what's known as yavesh v'yavesh. What does the word yavesh mean?
Dry.
It means dry. Very good. So, if you have a mixture of dry items, then we hold that there's something called bittul berov. Bittul berov. So classically, you have three hamburgers, two of them are kosher, one of them is treif. They get mixed up, you can't remember which one is which. Bittul berov. Now, what does that allow you to do exactly?
Bittul berov.
There, you get confused. Which one's which? They're all next to each other on the table.
Obviously, if you know which one's
okay.
Not
kosher. Yeah, I need the non-kosher one.
And then there's like two kosher restaurants and one non-kosher slaughterhouses. And there's three pizza meat on the floor. And there's one pizza meat on the floor. You can have it.
It's nine.
Okay, that's a little bit of a different thing, actually. But let's talk about this case. You have three hamburgers, okay? Two are kosher, one is treif. You don't know which one is which. Obviously, the best thing is to know which one is which. But you don't know which one is which. So we have bittul berov. Now, what does bittul berov allow you to do? So there are four opinions here. Four different opinions in the Rishonim. Okay, you have the opinion of Rashi. Rashi says, you have to throw out one of the hamburgers. And you can eat the other ones. Okay, throw out one. Eat the others. We can't let you eat all of them, because then you're definitely eating a treif one. Okay, but if you pick up one hamburger, we can assume that that one is kosher. Pick up another hamburger, we can assume that one is kosher. Then you have to throw out the last one. That's Rashi. You have the smag, and the smag says you don't have to throw out any of the hamburgers. But one person can't eat all three hamburgers. I can have one. Jonathan can have one. Ellie can have one. Each one of us picks up a hamburger, says, chances are it's kosher. Bittul berov. Okay? So each one of us can go ahead and eat a hamburger. The Rashba goes one step further. Rashba says, I can eat all three hamburgers, just not at the same time. Okay? If I eat them at the same time, like I said, take a piece from each one, put on my fork, and put it in my mouth. So I'm definitely eating treif. But if I pick up one hamburger and I eat it, so I can assume this is probably kosher. Then afterwards, a different time, I pick up another hamburger. I say, chances are this kosher. And finally, I think I pick up another. Each time, I can assume that it's kosher. The Rosh is the biggest chiddush. Oh. Rosh says one person can eat all three hamburgers at the same time.
Wow.
So he apparently holds that bittul berov means nepach iser lios heter. That the iser turns into heter. Magic. Oh. Magic. That's the opinion of the Rosh. It's the halacha. Okay, according to the Rosh, that's the halacha. Obviously, these are different opinions, have different views of how exactly it is that bittul works. What's your problem?
How does that work? You can't just turn something kosher.
No, it makes sense, because if you think about before, when I discussed the whole issue with eating non-kosher, so if you're over... I forget who it was I was talking about. We were talking about the shear before. I think that if you eat something that's not kosher, but you think it's kosher, then it's not the same thing as eating something.
Is that the same
problem?
Okay.
Not kosher.
I'll give you another example. I'll give you an example. Achrei Ram Lahatos. Torah says we go by rov. We go by rov. So what does that mean? We go by rov. I'll give you an example from a different area of halacha, and we can discuss if you're allowed to mix different areas of halacha like this. Okay? I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a basin of three. Two judges decide X, one judge decides Y. So what's the psak of the basin? X. Okay. Let's say they only have two judges and they both hold X. What's the psak? Nothing. It's not a Beis Din.
All right.
It's not a Beis Din. No matter who else they add, it's going to be. There's no way that Y can win. Right?
Oh, no.
It doesn't matter. It's not. It's not called a Beis Din. So when you have two X's and one Y, that's better than. So it's considered a psak of the whole Beis Din. It's not considered a psak of two. A psak of two is nothing. You need a psak of three. The third guy comes in, disagrees with the other two, and it's considered now the psak of three. Okay? It's like the third one, the third dayan gets, Kiyu switched to the X side. Okay? He's part of the Beis Din, and the Beis Din has a whole passage. Okay? So again, that's just a dimyon. So not necessarily true that you can transfer across realms of halacha like this, and maybe there's different types of rov, etc., etc. But just as a dimyon. Okay, so the Rosh will say, the Torah says, Acher Amatos, and it introduces the concepts of Rov in different areas of Halacha. We know this concept of Bitul Berov. Nepach Isur L'Yoseter. Other Rishonim apparently say differently. No, it's not that. It's not that the Isur turns into Heter. It's just that when I pick up one hamburger, I have the right to assume it's from the Rov. Right? Good, yeah?
Instead of by accident, everything getting mixed up. What if you can you do it on purpose?
No. So that's fair. We have a concept in halacha called Ein Mevatlin Iser Lechatchila. Okay, you're not allowed to purposely go ahead and bring about the situation of bittul. Not allowed to do that. Not allowed to do that. I have a treif hamburger. So it's great. So I'll just add two more hamburgers, do a little juggling. Poof, now I have three kosher hamburgers. No, you can't do this. You cannot do this. It doesn't work that way. Okay, then we give you a knas, and it's not batal. If it's not batal, and then the whole tarovis is also. Then all three are us.
Isn't the problem with that we're charging interest on people, that we're not supposed to charge interest, and then we just found a loophole to get around it?
What does that do with anything?
Well, wouldn't that go with that? Like you shouldn't try to charge interest, but just be around charging interest.
So we have
still
the
charge interest.
Okay, I'm not sure what you're trying to get at.
Technically,
the chachamim are able to be the ones to look at each area and to understand how things are meant to work. Okay, so the chachamim understood, and otherwise we would have. Would be in big trouble. The Chacham understood that a normal economy cannot function without business arrangements that are quite similar to interest, lending with interest. Imagine a modern-day economy with no lending with interest, so who'd be able to buy a home? It'd be not shy. Who'd be able to start a business?
Obviously, okay,
one second. So they understood that it's a good idea to make sure that we, of course, are following halacha, we're not lending with interest to Jews or paying interest to Jews, but to allow for things that may, for arrangements that look like interest, because that's a need. That's a need for the, they understood that it was not against the spirit of the law, and it's not against the letter of the law. And Hilchos Kashrus, when it comes to the Valinus L'Chatchila, they understood that that's not the case, and that when people start manipulating the halacha, so we're going to lead to problems, and it is against the spirit, and it may very well be against the letter sometimes, and therefore they said that's not, so we need the chacham in order to direct us about these things. Yes, absolutely.
So they're assuming that Hashem made a law that said specifically, don't charge interest for the sole reason of having the chazal to go around it, and then...
Why are we talking about interest right now? That's not... We're talking about kashrus. You're angry about the fact that people do things which are not really interest, but kind of looks like interest. The Chacham understood that the Torah is trying to tell us that, number one, it's a value to be able to lend whenever possible, to lend money to a Jew in need without interest, number one. And number two, not to engage in the shark-like, carnivorous type of destructive interest. Okay, but when you're talking about the types of business arrangements that are absolutely necessary in order for economy to function, that's not what the Torah was trying to get at. Yeah.
Who do we hold like in this case?
Who do we hold like? So the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, just, you know what, let's just make sure we all know what the options are here. Rashi holds, throw out one. In other words, you can only eat two out of the three. The smagolds.
All three, but different people.
Different people can eat all three. Different people. The Rashba says...
Same people, but not all at once.
One person can eat all three, but not all at once. And the Rosh says, even one person can eat all three, even at once. So, the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says the din is like the Rashba, and he quotes the Smag as a Chumrah. So even one person can eat all three hamburgers, just not at once, according to the Mechaber, Maker HaDin. Maker HaDin. And the Ramah says that Allah is like the Smag, that one person can add all three, and he quotes Rashi as a Chumrah. Nonetheless, there's an interesting test case. What if you take all three hamburgers, accidentally, of course, and you cook them together? So now, there's flavor that's been absorbed by each one from all the other ones. Okay, we're actually getting into a different area called lach b'lach.
Yeah, it's not
but now, each one that you eat, you're actually having all three. So the Ramah says that b'makom hefsed, you can still eat it. Im kein, that means he's holding ikra din, b'shas adchak, at least, like the Rosh. Okay, in any event, so
who is it that holds
recommended normal recommended the Mechaber quotes the Chumrah, the Ramah thinks ikra din, the smag, that one person wouldn't be able to eat all of them because then he's definitely eating Isser. But he can eat one because he has a right to assume that it's not Isser. And altogether, you don't have to throw any of them out and they could all be consumed. Okay?
The Rosh says smag?
The Ramah. The Ramah.
If different people eat all three, someone's definitely going to eat Isser. Though.
Correct.
So why would he just throw them
all each out? Each one has a right to assume that what he's eating is Heter. Look, if a person wants to be... here's where there is a little bit of interplay of kashas between the Hashkafa and the Halacha. And there are going to be some people who are going to come along and say, what do you mean? It's spiritual poison. I don't want to take that chance. If we don't assume Nebach is Elio's Heter, that means the Isser is there. I just have a Halacha right to assume I'm not eating it. Mm-hmm. But what if I am?
Correct.
So I don't want to get involved in this. Okay, that's not Halacha. That is already a Hiddur. Okay, but there are going to be people, absolutely, who are going to say, we're not relying on this kind of rove. Okay? This is when it comes to what's known as a ta'aroves, a mixture of yavesh biyavesh. Okay? There is another type of a mixture, which is called lach delach. Lach delach means, literally, liquid mixed with liquid. Okay? It doesn't really matter if it's actually liquid. When it comes to liquid mixed with liquid, so it all gets intermixed together. Right? The hamburger case that I gave you, or if you have three candy bars, you're not sure which one is the kosher one. Right? You have some candy bars that are kosher in some places and not in other places. So you don't remember which one's which. So all three of them are distinct. This is separate from this one. If I mix different liquids together, so it's not distinct objects anymore. It's all one big thing. Right? Good? Yo? Okay, so this works with different rules. Lach belach. The operative principle is Ta'am ki'ikar.
Yeah.
Okay, Ta'am ki'ikar, which means as follows. That if the ta'am of the iser, if the taste of the iser is present in the mixture, so then the entire mixture is forbidden. Right? In a certain sense, lach belach is a little better and a little bit worse than yavish biyavish. How's it better than yavish biyavish? It's better, meaning it's more room to be lenient, you know, let's say than yavish biyavish, because it's a mixture. It's not just straight up iser. On the other hand, you're definitely getting iser in there. It's not like the yavish biyavish. You probably are going to get, you know, have one which is totally heter. Okay, so in any event, it works with Tom Kaker. The rule is, if the taste of the forbidden ingredient is recognizable in the mixture, then we have a problem. Then we have an iser.
When you taste it to see if it's kosher, though, aren't you over an iser?
Right, so that's a problem. So how do we work this out? So, Meikar Adin, there's something you can rely on a non-Jewish taster. A kfeila arma, a non-Jewish taster. But lemaisa, we don't usually do that. Lamaisa, we don't really do that. What we assume is shishim, 1/60. We assume that if the yisr is 1/60 of the heter, then there's tam. And tam, ki ikar. If the tam is there, that's as though the ikar is there. Okay, so it's as though the tray food is here. So we go by shishim 1/60. 1/60 shishim. Okay, if it's batel b'shishim, if it's more than a 60-to-1 ratio, so then we assume there's no tam. And then the mixture is permitted. Now what happens here, this is a different type of bittel than the yavish b'yavish, unless you don't like the rush. Okay? In the case of lach b'lach, if the tam, if the taste is not there, that means we assume that pi halacha, the iser ingredient, no longer exists. It's done. Doesn't exist anymore. Okay? You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't taste it.
Kind of like with the rush.
It doesn't exist. Like, kind of like the rush. Okay? If it's more than 1/60, so then the whole entire Tarovis is Isser.
Yeah.
Okay, good?
But, except if something's Kharif, it makes a difference. So.
Okay, no, Hanami. That the 1/60 is assuming that's under normal circumstances. True. You can have something which is less than a 60th, but it's so strong, so pungent, that it can be noticed in tam, even in such a small ratio, in which case it would still be a problem, it would still be aser. Okay? The Mechaber paskins that you can rely on the non-Jewish taster, the Rambam says you can't. Lamaisa, lamaisa. I don't think people ever really do the taster thing. And we go by shishim. Okay? For lach b'lach shishim. Yes?
How would they even know it what do you even tell them to taste for?
Does this taste like this Greek juice?
Okay, right. There's a good question. Can you rely on him if he knows what you're trying to do? Or only if it's there, you know, sort of what we call misiach lefitumo. Okay, fine. I'm not getting into it right now because people don't really do it anyway. Beseder. Good. Good. There is a question. Let's say I have a 60-to-1 ratio. It's 61-to-1 even. But now a little more iser falls in. So do we assume that it connects to the old iser that was batel already? That was batel out of existence, and now it all reconnects, and now it is iser. That's what we call the iser is chozer v'neir. It comes back to life. Or do we assume no, that each little bit that fell in was batel because it was less than a 60th each time? So there are maholz la halacha. And Shulchan Aruch, that the Isser is Chozer V'Neir. Okay? Al-Pidin, really, there's also a difference when it comes to Lach B'Lach, so that we know the terminology, okay? That there's a difference between whether it is Min B'Mino or Min B'She'eno Mino.
Yeah, same kind.
Okay, really, the issue of Tam K'Iker is when it's Min B'She'eno Mino. Okay, so then the two things taste different. Let's say now. This will be, let's say, for example, I have a chicken soup,
yeah,
and a little bit of treif liquid, which is not chicken soup, which tastes different than chicken soup, falls in, or milk falls in.
Right,
so it's a different taste. So that's when tam kicker is really applicable. That's when it go by 1/60.
If you use another chicken broth, that's not
kosher. Okay, right. Let's say other chicken, not treif chicken soup. Tastes exactly the same. That's called min bimino. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara. One opinion holds that min bimino, there's no bittel at all. It's always aser.
Yeah, no,
that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the Chacham holds, no, it's batel berov. So much more lenient.
Yeah.
As long as it's 51-49, we can be maker. La halacha, we really hold like the Chachamim. But midrabanan, we hold that we still require shishim. So it ends up being the same ratio, shishim. Okay. So far, so good? Yes? Okay. We mentioned before the issue of ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. That is a knas derabanan. Really, in theory, the bittul works. But midrabanan, they give you a knas. They say that it's also. Therefore, they only made this knas if you know that what you're doing is mixing in Isser v'Heter. If you don't know that you're not allowed to do this, then they never made their Knas. Okay,
so
this is all...
What if the person that does it doesn't know, then it's mutter free to eat?
Yeah.
So, I'm saying, well, couldn't you? What about if you're the person that buys the ingredients, but you don't cook the food? Is that also for you to do? Let's say the ingredients. There's a kosher version and there's a non-kosher version. And you buy the majority of the kosher version, and you buy some of the non-kosher version, and you have whoever, like, you turn the fire on, but you have whoever does your cooking.
All right.
Cooking.
Listen, don't do this.
I'm asking, though, like, on a technical level. Obviously, yeah. I'm not planning on.
Okay, I don't know. I think if you set it up and you know about it, so then it's
no, but you don't give them any of the ingredients. You say, like, the ingredients are in your house, but you turn the fire on, and you say, cook me X, Y, Z, whatever, and here. Obviously they're going to use the ingredients that are in the house.
They made the kenas, according to many achronim, they made the kenas even for the person whom it was done for. Okay, so I would say in this case, you're an active participant. Don't do this. Okay.
Good question.
All of it, yes.
Back to the whole soup thing. Do you revert back to the original soup? Like, if you mix something and it's not, you know, time kicker, or you know, there's less than 1/60th, and then you render it, you're allowed to eat it, but then it happens again. So like, do you
right? So a little bit of milk falls into my chicken soup, or a little bit of non-kosher chicken soup falls into my chicken soup, and it's 60-1, so it's kosher. Then a little more falls in, and now if you combine the two iser parts, so then it's already more than shishim. It's only 50-1, not 60-1. So now the whole thing is us there.
Let's say it's less than 1/60th, but the second time you added the soup in it, it develops a tom.
It's less than 1/60th of isser, but it's very strong tasting stuff, and it's no sin tom.
Yeah, but that's only because of whatever mixed in the first time.
Lemaisa, if it has tom, it's usser. If it doesn't have tom, it's not usser. Okay?
For chicken soup, you need as much of a robe as you would need for
We need shishim for both, okay? What you can do is, if something falls in and it's 60-1, so it's kosher, so first of all, be very careful it doesn't happen again. But you can certainly add more kosher stuff in there, and then, you know, you raise the percentage to 70-1, so that you're out of harm's way. Okay, but in any event, don't let this happen.
Anything greater than 1/60th.
60, more than a 60-1 ratio, okay? Of kosher to iser equals kosher.
If you have a pot of your soup and a drop drops in, so you know it's less than 1/60th, and you take some and you remove some, does that make it less than 1/60th, or is that considered that you're removing some of the iser?
Yeah, once you're talking about lach balach, we assume that the iser is evenly spread out through the whole entire thing. So whatever you take out is comprised of 60 parts of kosher and one part of sheif.
Unless it hasn't mixed in yet.
Which is all kosher, basically. If it hasn't mixed in, so take it out. Look, if you can recognize it, obviously the lach balach is only when you can't. There's nothing to separate. It's not separatable. Okay, let's say a tray of meatball falls into your chicken soup. Take out the meatball. Obviously, now that's not going to be good enough, especially if it's hot. We assume that the tam, the taste, already got spread out into the entire soup. But okay, so if you have 60-1, then it's kosher. Okay, here's one relevant application of this entire discussion, and that is with a fascinating and famous discussion with regard to blended whiskey. Blended whiskeys.
The sherry casks
and the stam blended whiskeys. Okay, it goes like this. If you're interested, and by the way, there's plenty of information online. In general, Hilchos Kashrus, more so than other areas of halacha, there's a lot of great information online. The kashrus organizations, the major kashrus organizations in America have great websites.
The OU,
the Star K, the RC, the CRC. They have excellent websites. You do have to make sure that what you're reading is from a reasonable source, as you can get stam articles online about all kinds of topics which are written by whoever feels like putting something online. But if you go to a reputable organization, they have a lot of information.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess maybe because you live in LA,
so
Triangle K is better than whatever you guys
do. Okay, oh boy. Oh boy.
There's the Star K guy, I think, lives in LA.
Okay, alright, I'm not getting into it right now. Star K, I think, is based out of Baltimore.
Star K is very good.
The strawberry guy. The guy's strawberry guy is from LA.
Strawberry, okay, I don't know. Okay, in any event, it goes like this. So, when a lot of whiskeys and a lot of alcoholic beverages, they blend in various things. They blend in other ingredients. In fact, they have a good incentive to do so. Apparently, alcoholic beverages are one of the highest tax items in the United States and in many countries. They tax at a very high rate, and they tax per percentage of of alcohol content.
Per volume, yeah.
Okay, per volume. Now, it's a huge. I mean, it's the OU article on this claims that he quotes a producer of a certain alcoholic beverage is saying that his highest expense, bigger than the combined expense of the ingredients that go into his product, the bottling and the manufacture, is tax. Tax is more than all of that combined. So it's a big deal. But you're allowed to blend in up to 2% of basically other of flavorings which don't get taxed. So it's like Gvaldik. So we can go ahead and add in 2% of as basically as high content of alcohol as possible to raise the alcohol content without raising the taxes. Okay, that's the basic. That's basically what goes on. Okay, a lot of these that's called blenders. Now, a lot of the blenders are like almost pure alcohol. Now, the question is with regard to the blenders. Some of the blenders are made from non-kosher ingredients, whether it's certain ingredients that have that originally stem from animal products. Or whether it's ingredients that have some wine involved, and you know that wine has to have a special ashgacha, right? The non-Jewish wine is a problem, aside from the sherry casks. Even I'm not up to that yet. Okay, and so there may be various kashrus issues with regard to the blenders. So there was a debate. And Moshe Feinstein actually decades ago was makil on many of the blended whiskeys. And for a variety of reasons, okay, the blenders are not, and there are those who are making on them. The blenders are not really drinkable bichlal when they mix them in. They become drinkable later, of course, but you know as part of the overall mixture. But they're not drinkable at that time, and various other halachic reasonings. Okay, there's a lot of other halachic reasonings. Others like the OU doesn't accept this heter currently. They claim, 2%, that's more than shisha. And we're not going to rely on the idea that it was not drinkable at that time, because whatever, it's chozer. Not everything that's not drinkable in its pure form is necessarily no longer food. There's a lot of things that you eat spices, raw, then you're going to like gag and you're not going to be able to eat it. It doesn't mean that it's not edible. It'll be perfectly wonderful if you just put it in the right amounts on a food product. In any event, I'm just giving you the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. Okay? Bizmanenu, the kashrus organizations list different types of alcoholic beverages, of whiskeys, of scotch, of vodkas, and all kinds of other things, and basically where they come from. And based on that, you can figure out what you can buy, what you cannot buy. This is one of the rare areas where they're going to give, you can find kosher organizations giving you a list of items that they consider to be kosher, even though they don't have hashgacha. Most of these drinks don't have hashgacha. Yeah. Okay, some do, gewaldic. But some, most do not. So I highly recommend, if a person is going to be, after his yeshiva experience, obviously, ever purchase some of these items, so a person should, in fact, check with one of these reputable organizations, and they all have lists of the types of items that they consider to be trustworthy. Josh mentioned the issue of the sherry cask. So for scotch, which is more pure than it is a pure scotch, as opposed to whiskey, which is a blend. So you have less of a problem in terms of the blenders because they don't blend stuff in. On the other hand, for many of them, they age them in these casks that were used for wine, for sherry, type of sherry casks. Okay, and they were used previously to hold wine. So there's wine absorbed in the cask, which then gets a little bit absorbed into the scotch. So that's a further discussion. Maybe the wine is no sin tam into the scotch. Why do they use casks that were previously used to hold the wine?
Is no sin tam, that's why they use it.
That's why they use it. On the other hand, when I was in Grusser, Miller quoted of Schechter, who said that he had a discussion with one of the scotch manufacturers. And this guy claimed the reason they use the sherry casks is not because they're interested in the time of the wine. It's because if they were used unused casks, new casks, then the time of the wood would be too strong. So they use these casks that are already used for the wine because it dulls the taste of the wood. But they actually don't care about the taste of the wine. In any event, you know, the kashrus organizations also have different policies with regard to this issue, and many are machmir on the issue of the casks, even though there were some who were making. Okay, I raise this as an issue. All of this is based on the discussions that we're involved with here of lach belach, of bittel, ein meval l'nisr l'chatchila. All of these are terminology, and again, we only began to scratch the surface of this topic of the whiskies. But all of these are concepts that are getting thrown around in this discussion. And la halacha, in a practical sense, certainly check your check online with you, with the kashrus organization of your choice. The ones I mentioned before are certainly very reputable for a detailed list of the beverages that they consider to be acceptable. Have a great day.